broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Great good day to you. It's the PGA Tour FedEx Cup Championship, the final weekend. One man could walk away with two trophies and $10 million, or we could have two winners. That's right, the Tour Championship winner, and we could have the FedEx champion. Well, we'll see. We'll know on Sunday on the LPGA Tour, one of the richest purses on the LPGA Tour. It's the final major, the Evian Championship. Michelle Wee withdrew. She returned with her injury a little bit too soon, and it really hurts, and she doesn't want to wipe herself out, I guess. We'll find out more when we talk to Lewin Mayer, who will be calling in from Evian-le-Bain. We've got some interesting people on the top of the leaderboard. H.J. Kim, she leads. She's the youngster who shot 61 and then followed with a 72 yesterday. That's what I call coming back to earth. And Brittany Lincecum, she shot a 65 and a 67, and today she's 6 over par. Before we get to our guests, let's thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Dr. Armand Chong Dentist, the director of the Hawaii TMJ Institute, dental director for 10 senior facilities, the official dentist of the 1990-95 Hula Bowl and Aloha Bowl. Dr. Armand Kainoa Chong, a great dentist, 737-3525. And Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years, an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem. Also, Star Protection. For property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And also, Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu.
Just as you walk out the door, consider going down to Acura of Honolulu. The TLX comes with a host of standard and available features that you won't find on the LX. This is a fabulous car. Standard LED headlights, a row of diamonds guiding your way. Standard expanded view driver's mirror C. More, you can see more of just what's coming up on your side of the roadway. Standard, the capless, I love this, the capless fuel fill system is very convenient and is very clean, and you'll never replace another gas cap. And standard is the active sound control enhancing. It just enhances that ultra-quiet cabin, stereo, and connectivity experience. So this is all at Acura of Honolulu. And we also want to thank one of our sponsors who's just joined us. It's Creative Plumbing. And whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, call Creative Plumbing because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. All right. First of all, we're waiting for Lewin Mayer from Global Golf Post to call in from Evian-le-Bain in France, where the final major on the LPGA Tour is being played, and that, of course, is the Evian Championship. While we're waiting, I wanted to let you know about a couple of things that are going on. Speaking of Acura, on Monday, the Acura Hawaii Charity Pro-Am Golf Tournament featuring the Champions Tour professionals. It'll be played at Ko'olina on Monday. It's a fundraiser for Special Olympics and Kids Hurt Too. And if you can't pay to play, you can be at the dinner, and you can make the donation that way by buying dinner and a concert with Henry Capono after the event. It's 792-9110. That's the number to call, 792-9110. And the email address, if you'd like to email, it's golf@acurahawaii.com. Also, Hyundai, Tournament of Champions, less than 6 months away, and they're still looking for volunteers to help put on this event. Whether you're a driver, you know, you want to drive people from the airport, pick them up at the airport, get them to their cars, or maybe move people from the parking lot down to Kapalua, the plantation course, or you'd like to be a ticket taker or a greeter and pass out pamphlets It's everything is needed, so just give them a call. Contact Tiffany DeLeon, and her number is 662-7702. So that's for Hyundai Tournament of Champions, 662-7702. Or for the Henry Kapono concert, the dinner, and the Acura Hawaii Charity Pro-Am Golf Tournament. And that's a fundraiser for Special Olympics and Kids Hurt Too. That number is 792-9110. All right, we're going to go now to France. It's absolutely beautiful, overlooking Lake Geneva. And Switzerland is right on the other side of the lake. And Lewin Mayer is their Global Golf Post writer. Welcome to the show, Lewin.
Thank you so much.
It's good to have you on. I've been watching, and it seems like the course, while it doesn't look particularly difficult on television, is challenging, much more so today than in the last 2 days.
Oh, it really is. I mean, I can't tell you what a tough course it is. And you've got the short 16th, where a lot of them are coming to grief. 155 yards and a pin tucked on the left and lots of water. I mean, there's a lovely Czech girl here. She's one of the photographers, and she'd been watching Christy Kerr, and she said she hit two waters at the 16th, and I'm afraid that was very easily done.
And Christy Kerr is not one to hold back how she feels. I can only
imagine. Well, you know, I didn't go near her to find out. I'm awfully sorry.
It's okay. I'm curious about H.J. Kim. Hyo-Joo Kim? She shot a 61, followed by that 72. How's she doing today?
Well, she's had another 72. I think she needed a 72 to sort of recover from that 61. It was such an extraordinary score. She had seven threes on her first nine, and then she had two threes and two twos coming home. And she's so calm, and I can't tell you what a lovely swing she has. I mean, it's just so soothing. You know, if you want to put her on video, it would send you off to sleep very nicely. It's just beautiful.
Well, you know, there's so many women from Korea who are doing so well. We have H.J. Kim, M.J. Hur, Na-Yeon Choi, Hana Yang. Is it something special about this course? What is it about our Korean players? They seem to have that calmness.
They have this wonderful calmness, although there was one that got a bit cross today. Luckily for her, I can't remember her name at the moment. But for the most part, they are very calm. And I also think they're getting a better upbringing in the game than they used to have. You know, their parents didn't know much about golf until Suri Pak came along. And, of course, they didn't. So the parents and the children were learning at once. And I think the parents probably were too hard on their kids. And then they realized they've got to give them breaks. And Suri Pak was saying the same, you know, they need to relax, you know, have plenty of downtime. And I think they're just going to get better and better. I really do.
Wow. How do we compete, whether it's from the UK or the US? How do our players compete with this kind of calmness? What do we need to add to our programs?
Well, I think you need to start off by, you know, in their culture, children tend to do as they're told until the age of about 25. I don't know what it's like quite in America, but in Britain, they usually stop doing as they're told when they're about 10.
Yes, that's a good age. That's the age. Yep.
So, you know, these girls, you know, they do sort of, if their parents want them to practice, they practice. I think and they want it themselves because they like to please their parents. I mean, they are extraordinarily hardworking. I mean, they'll stay on the range for hours at a time.
It's the parent-pleasing aspect of this, where the children are... A lot of people have criticized, for instance, Michelle Wee, because her parents are always with her. But that's normal for a Korean family, isn't it?
It's totally normal. And if you speak to me, you know, if you listen to Michelle Wee talking, she's very, very fond of those parents. She gets on splendidly with them. So, as you say, it's Korean culture. And the other, you know, a lot of them will have their mothers with them or their fathers. Although, in fairness, some of them, you know, where the parents have been a bit oppressive, the children have now sort of sent them home again and say, Mum, look, Dad, I play better without you there. And, you know, the parents are learning.
Yeah, at some point, as they mature and they play on the tour and they see other young girls, women, young women and women on their own, It's a sense of, okay, I want to belong with this, with the tour, rather than being this individual team over here with my mom and dad. I would sense that that would be something that I, as a young woman, would want to do. I would want to bond, although I'm competing, I would still want to have that bond with the women I'm with.
Yes, exactly. I'm sure that's right. And they do fit in very well. You know, initially, I think there was a tendency to overlook them because people couldn't understand what they were saying, so you couldn't do interviews, so you sort of focused on the other players who were near the lead. But now I think they're fitting in very well, you know, and they're lovely girls, most of them, and they do dress quite beautifully. I mean, I have to say that the clothes they have in Korea are probably, you know, the bit of one-upmanship there. They do sort of come up with neater and more original clothing, certainly than in the UK, and I think than in America too.
Yeah, I keep asking some of our U.S. Apparel manufacturers to, would you make something like that? I can't get it online. I don't know how to read Korean, so I don't know what I'm ordering.
I know. Like, I did go to one of these, this lovely store in Korea, and there were about three floors of it were devoted to golf clothes. And I excitedly sort of plucked a handful of shirts from the shelves, tried them on, and I'm pretty small, and I couldn't get into any of them.
Oh. That's the other thing. What size do I order? Good point.
Well, it's amazing, yes. I mean, they are neat, they're petite, and they've got sort of very tidy gains.
And they put it all together without really using a golf course. I hear that most of them train in practice facilities. They don't really have a lot of golf courses like we do to go out and play the game on the course.
No, that's absolutely right. Funnily enough, I was talking to Suri Pat today, and she played with Charlie Hull, who's our whiz kid of the moment. And she was very impressed by Charlie. And I was saying to Suri, you know, what would you have liked if you were starting over again? And she said, I would have, if I'd had the chance, I'd have loved to play more on a course when I was a kid rather than just hitting balls at the range. Because, you know, you learn to do the unexpected if you're on the course, and you don't learn that in the range. If you hit one bad shot, you just hit another.
Very good. Very good. That you have to deal with the odd lies that you come across. And the rulings, the rules of the game come into play when you're on a golf course. Not at all when you're in a practice facility. You don't see where the ball is. You don't have to play the ball as it lies. You just, as you said, put another one up on the tee and hit it from there. So sometimes it seems like the women don't know the rules as well as they ought to know them.
Well, I don't know. I just think that, you know, like, as you know, as they are in golf, I think they're just very careful. They don't want to break them. You know, they're just very, very careful about what they do. They don't want to waste shots. The other interesting thing about them is that they're playing at a rate of knots now. They're playing much more quickly, these women, and they're playing more quickly than the men, which is an interesting point. And they've stopped the caddies lining them up all the time, you know, and they're certainly walking faster, and the rounds are probably lasting about 4.5 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, maybe a bit longer today because they were hitting water at the 16th and everything. But that's the norm, I think.
Well, speaking of lining up, I'm so glad to hear you say they're not having the caddies line them up. Who stopped them?
I think they haven't actually stopped them. I just think, you know, they've been showing them ways they can, you know, be quicker, and which is the secret, you know. So they are definitely, and they're learning. And the girls don't want to play slowly.
Good, because it drives the viewer crazy. Lydia Ko, she's got a beautiful swing. How's she playing?
She's playing really well, actually. I'm just looking now at she's had rounds of 69, 68, and 72. So she wasn't so hot today, but she really does play quite beautifully. You know, very steady stuff and uses her head. She's so wise for her age. She really is.
That's something, you know, and on the one hand, I admire that, and the other hand, I it troubles me, you know. When children aren't children, they're grown up, there's got to be a point, well, maybe they don't, they have to express the rebellion that becomes part of becoming an adult. And I don't see that happening, though. Maybe it's the bonding with the parents that it works so well in Korea.
Well, maybe you just get them rebelling later, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit like Tiger. I always thought he'd rebel you know, in his 20s, and he did it in his 30s.
In his 30s. You, now, you've always been a fan of Michelle Wee, even when she was in her doldrums.
Yes, very much so. I think she's terrific, and I think the example she set in going to Stanford and playing golf at the same time, and now, of course, she's fulfilled all that pristine promise by being a U.S. Open winner. So she's really done a lot. I mean, it's terrific. And a lot of people who did criticize her heavily, you know, especially for going down the men's route, you know, you don't hear from them now. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt that all that playing among the men was actually not bad training for her, you know, having to hit out. It probably had her hitting a longer ball and everything, those experiences. So, I think she's terrific.
Can you tell us a little bit about the injury that she withdrew, and what have you heard about that?
Well, I was actually watching her the other day. Now, I'm just sort of picturing it. Is it the right hand or the left hand? I can't remember which, but that's beside the point. Anyhow, she had the hand strapped, and she had her thumb strapped. But when, of course, the injury is to her index finger, and it was a stress-related complaint, and she took a month off, and she should have taken more, essentially, but she wanted to play in the Evian, so, she just couldn't bear to wait any longer.
I was thinking that it must be very difficult when it seems like you're okay to not compete. There's something inside the competitive drive that seems to push golfers to get back out much sooner than they really ought to. And I don't know anyone who can tell them no.
No, exactly. I mean, people have used that as a criticism of the Wee family, you know, that she's never taken enough time to recover from injury. But this was her own decision. And, you know, speaking to another girl, Caroline Hedwall, who got 5 points out of five in the last Solheim, and she said she'd done exactly the same. She had a wrist injury at the start of the year from hauling baggage around at an airport, and she came back to suit. Too soon, and coming back too soon, she started swinging differently to ease the pain, and then, of course, she was in double trouble. You know, the swing wasn't right, and the wrist was
right. That's the difficulty when going back to Tiger Woods as an example. When he was swinging and he was injured, his knee was injured. You compensate for that, then you develop those compensations in your swing, and then the knee is better. And pretty soon, you don't know what you're doing anymore because
I know it's a pretty difficult game, isn't it?
Yes.
There's so much that can go wrong.
It is. You, Lewin Marr, is a Global Golf Post special correspondent. She is from the UK. She was the first woman to serve as the Daily Telegraph's golf correspondent, given a special position on the sports pages of the national paper. And you were also a golf correspondent in 1997, the year in which you had you were on the shortlist for the British Sports Writer of the Year Award. Tell me, what's it like being a first woman, the first woman to do something like this, going into the men's environment as you did?
Well, you know, there seem to be first, you know, you be hearing nowadays from first women in every walk of life. I mean, it is incredible. But no, I did enjoy doing it. I mean, I've got a job I absolutely love. You know, I love writing about it. And I was very lucky to get the Telegraph job, and I enjoyed it for as long as I did it. But I have to say, I'm really enjoying working for Global Golf Post because they love golf. You know, it's a terrific environment to work in.
Yes, very, very. Now, the other question that I was thinking as I was driving to work, golf writers I've met, they go from the media center to the hotel, from the hotel to the media center. They travel around the world, but it seems like it's between the hotel and the media center, and that's about all they see. Do you have time to take time to enjoy the surroundings, the city that you're in? Do you have time to do that?
Well, I have to say, last week I was in Switzerland for the men in Crans-sur-Sierre, and I don't know whether you've looked at pictures of that, but it's absolutely staggeringly beautiful, as is Evian, which is just around the lake. And, you know, I would go, given time, I go out for do a bit of walking on the mountain. When I come here, I take the boat over to Lausanne for no reason other than because I want to go across Lake Geneva. So I do fit in odd things like that, yes.
Yes, yay. I lived in Switzerland for in Davos for many years. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah, when I see those pictures, it just takes me back. And I think, my goodness, golf in Switzerland. And there's some very old courses and golf in France. The Ryder Cup is going to be played in France. What is the feeling there, the French? Do they love golf? Do they care about golf?
Well, they're, it's certainly been brought to their attention more than ever in the past. You know, they are excited about the Ryder Cup. And, of course, they're excited about this Ryder Cup that's just coming up because they've got a player, Victor Dubuisson, in the European team, and that's exciting for them.
Yeah, I was wondering, when they hold a major event in a place like France, does it matter if the locals want to go, because everybody just books planes and it's sold out just from the people who are visiting?
Yes, I think probably they've got this tournament here, the Evian, at absolutely the right time. I mean, the town is full of golf visitors and ordinary tourists. I mean, there's a real buzz about the place. They've got a great big screen down in the town centre, and all sorts of people are looking in, you know. So I saw the owner of the fruit shop out watching this morning. I mean, it's the whole town is involved here. It's rather like being in St. Andrews, where the town and course are one.
Yes, oh, that's marvelous. I get the feeling. And I have to ask you about the greens. What's the grass on the greens?
Do you know, I'm not sure. All I can tell you, I'm sorry, it's not a question I've asked this week. I've just been watching the putts, you know, with great interest. Some of the girls are putting brilliantly, but others, you know, they're racing here and there.
Yes, that's what I was wondering about. I was trying to figure out what the reed was like. You know, was it Bermuda or...
They're scary.
They're scary.
Is that enough?
Yes, that's enough. Who will you be following tomorrow?
I'm very interested to see, well, you know, Carrie Webb is such a wily creature, isn't she?
Yes.
There she is, just one shot off the lead behind this little girl who started with the 61 and scared the life out of herself, but has recovered since. So it's going to be really interesting to see the old player against this new one, who nobody really knows. And funnily enough, this, you know, however we pronounce her name, Kim, she was asked if she knows anything about Carrie Webb, and she says, no, I don't. So I think she'll learn fast.
Well, I was watching that Carrie Webb was right there, and I thought, you know, she's always in it. And the one person that I was watching, too, on television was Suzanne Pedersen. And I thought, you know, she is such a jock. She is a gym rat. You know, she's always working out. She has a swagger about her. And I thought, you know, maybe she just needs to play and not work out so hard on her, you know, the conditioning. Sometimes you just have to give up what condition you're in and just play.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's part and parcel of who she is. She loves the training.
Yes.
And so, you know, maybe if she didn't do that, there would be too much golf. And it takes it's a break away from the golf if you're training. So I don't think it does her any harm. And she knows she's in great condition to hit the ball really well.
She does. And I always expect her to win because she's in such great shape. But that's not golf.
No, she had a bit of a blip today at the 17th. She may have even dropped two shots, but that was a shame. She had a 74 today. But she's not that far down. She's in a share of 10th place, but she's four off the lead.
I just couldn't help but think, boy,
five off the lead.
Off the lead. What they've done with the pin placement today, after the great scores we had the first 2 days, they decided no more of that. We won't have that anymore.
Oh, I know that they are wicked. They really are.
Yes. Lewin Mayer, thanks so much for being on the show. Global Golf Post special correspondent. It's great talking with you.
Thanks so much. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. We're going to come back and talk with Tony Covey, and it's My Golf Spy. Now, here's a person who isn't beholden to anyone, so he pretty much says it like it is, calls it as he sees it. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
St-
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
The beaten path is not for everyone. That's why we designed the new Acura MDX just for you. With features like Jewel-Eye LED headlights that mimic natural sunlight, illuminating more of what lies ahead. Integrated dynamic system with three separate performance settings to meet your mood. One-touch walk-in for simple one-button access in and out of the third row. And available AcuraLink surface street traffic information to keep you one step ahead of the herd. Maybe it's called the beaten path, because it can be beaten. Introducing the new 2014 Acura MDX. 3-year traffic subscription included. See your Acura dealer for system and coverage details.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Poipu Bay has a tea time for you at 9:50, at 11:10, or 12:30. Makalei has a 10:52. Kapolei, the Champions Tour, playing the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship next week. So they're all sold out. And Raw Hawaiian has a nooner. You can go after that. They're wide open. Aulomana has a 10:44. And Makaha East after 12 o'clock. They've got some tea times for you. As they say, what's not to like? Billy Horschel, 266s. He's got the lead going into the weekend. The top 30 on the PGA Tour FedEx Cup points race have arrived for the last two rounds of this star-studded event, the final one of the season until Ryder Cup. But Rory McIlroy is just two strokes back. So we asked Billy Horschel, how does it feel playing with, or rather against, Rory in the same pairing?
If I happen to come out on top and we're battling out on these next two rounds, that means a lot. The guy won three straight events in a row, and two of them had to be majors. I think that's pretty impressive, and he's in that stage where, you know, when you're able to go toe-to-toe with one of the best players and the number one ranked player in the world, and you're able to come out on top, I think that would give anybody a lot of confidence.
Yep, that would. Let's hope it goes, because, you know, Saturday is moving day. Tony Covey, senior equipment editor, My Golf Spy. I love what he says. Every golf company and every golf club has a story. It's my job to tell it. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. It's great to be with you.
Excellent. And now, Tony did something for me that just went, yes, finally somebody's saying something about all these golf clubs that keep coming out every 6 months and they're all $400 and who can buy the latest driver? The latest driver, this is crazy. Car companies don't even do this to us. So he wrote about the economics of equipment sales. First question, it seems like Callaway and TaylorMade haven't heard anything. They haven't heard that sales aren't going through the roof and maybe they should pull back. They're still releasing these golf clubs. Is that the trend from now on with the big ones?
You know, it's interesting. I think you're going to see fairly substantial changes at TaylorMade. Certainly if you saw their Q2 financial report, you know the situation that they're in right now. And I expect that we're going to see them back off a little bit. certainly not released to the degree they have in the past, or at least sort of back off for the next little while. I think Callaway, despite sort of some of the pushback we're hearing from consumers, I think they're going to be pedal to the metal with releases. But I think even those guys are going to try and change it up a little bit and take a slightly different approach to how they do it.
I was talking to someone from Callaway when they were on the show with me, someone very important, and I said, you know, why are you releasing things so quickly? And they said, well, if we know something that will make the club easier to use, why should we hold on to it? Let's get it out there right away. So I wonder, you know, if they have that philosophy, that they have to, instead of holding it in the vault, they want to be the first ones with whatever they've come up with.
It's certainly highly competitive in that respect. And in fact, you know, all the way back, it's probably, you know, just over a year ago this time last year when TaylorMade had released the FLBR, you know, what are we talking, 6 months after R1? And the story there was, you know, the talking point was innovation can't wait.
Yes.
And I think, you know, there's some of that going on, but I think, you know, the word that's being kicked around quite a bit is recalibration. And I know, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to stop releasing equipment, but it definitely means we're going to try to do it differently. And whether or not, you know, the consumer is going to buy into that and, you know, really understand what the manufacturers are doing remains to be seen. And so, you know, if you look at what a Callaway or a TaylorMade, I think, needs to do to be successful while maintaining these accelerated product releases is do a better job clearly differentiating their products, so that, you know, if you release a driver today and then release another one 6 months later, you have to be able to make the consumer understand that this may not be the direct replacement. It's different. It's for a different type of golfer, for a different swing, speed, whatever it is they happen to be selling, right? Whatever the story they're pushing.
Yes.
They need to make the consumer understand that, you know, even though this is newer and it's the same price or more expensive even, it's not the same, and it may not be for the guy who just bought our driver 6 months ago.
Yes. Now that makes sense. And you were talking about the Cobra Golf announcing the driver, the BioCell line, the 440cc version of the BioCell driver. That was the one for Shane Bacon, right?
Yes, yeah. I mean, and so you saw Cobra do that. They, in the spring, they had you know, BioCell and BioCell Plus, and then, you know, they had a, I mean, Cobra, just if you look at the tour this year, I mean, Ricky Fowler had a great year for him. Jonas Blix was right there in contention, you know, to the back nine at the Masters, and so that really boosted, you know, sort of at least the awareness of the Cobra brand, and they saw that as an opportunity to release the pro model, the actual, you know, model that Ricky Fowler was using. And that was sort of a later in the year release, but, you know, to their credit, and again, you really don't know how well it resonates with the average consumer, but they were very clear and saying, you know, this is probably not for you. You know, this is a true better player's driver. It's not forgiving.
Yes, and I think that's exact to your point, is this line is for X, this line is for Y, and this line is for Z. So be very clear on what your capabilities are, because you can't play with Tiger Woods or Rory McIlroy or Ricky Fowler's clubs. You won't be able to hit the ball.
And that's interesting too, right? You can sort of differentiate along ability levels, but at the same time, you know, the trade-off is the consumer needs to be honest with himself about his ability levels, and the driver that he wants might not necessarily be the one that he needs, and I'm certainly guilty of that myself.
Well, of course. You
know, I understand what I'm getting into. So.
Yeah, you do. You do know what you're getting into, because you're right in the midst of it all. On Twitter, I love following you. I saw this one. Whispers from TaylorMade sales meetings say that company seeks to become the, quote, the first modern-day golf company. And then
that's what I'm hearing.
And then you said no idea what that means. You know, what's the first modern-day golf company?
Yeah, I guess we'll start finding out. I mean, they just wrapped up their sales meetings, from what I understand, and So it usually won't take long before the message starts to get out, whether intentional or sort of leak through back channels. But, you know, eventually we're going to know what that means. And quite frankly, I'm not sure right now.
Right.
I do think if you look at sort of what they're doing on Twitter right now, you're seeing a lot of sort of suggestions, Twitter and Facebook, really, the social media channels of sort of this trying to create a retro image. So, you know, recently they posted a picture of the original burner and, you know, some pom-pom head covers. And, you know, we hear that the burner name is probably coming back on a driver. And you're going to see, I believe the next one's going to be an R-Series again instead of SLDR. So I think to an extent, you know, you saw how successful Callaway was when they brought Bertha back and sort of tapped into this sense of nostalgia with the consumer. And I think, you know, whether you want to say it's following or not, it's certainly not foolish of TaylorMade to try and do similar and really tap into, you know, I guess what you think of as a happy time.
A happy time. Yes, but by the same token, you know, this is Tony Covey, Senior Equipment Editor, MyGolfSpy, and what you should know is MyGolfSpy, you guys don't get any advertising from these companies, do you?
No, we have, you know, really gone out of our way at times to avoid taking any sort of ad dollars from the biggest names in golf. So, you know, your Callaways, your TaylorMade, Titleist, Ping. You know, we have good relationships for the most part with all of them, but it does not extend to advertising in any capacity whatsoever. We think that kind of, we don't think, we know that sort of gives us a little more freedom than the average media outlet to say exactly what we think and tell the stories in a way that we think they should be told.
Which is probably why you were able to put this tweet out. And I think Twitter and Facebook gives these companies an opportunity to throw something out there and see what sticks.
And, oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's...
No question.
Yeah. So you wrote here, one reader says, Callaway Golf has released too many Berthas in 14. Try treating Bertha more like a lady and less like a pro. So that's...
that was a great one. That really was.
So how many Berthas were released in 14?
Well, I mean, you had Bertha, Big Bertha Alpha, and now very recently the Big Bertha B Series. So, I mean, you know, three drivers, that's more than a complete line for most companies anyway. So it'll be curious interesting to see what they do with the Bertha line moving forward. But, you know, I certainly think it's here to stay for the next little while.
Well, I think the bringing back the Bertha was a good idea just because it worked. I'm so many.
Oh, it's huge.
Huge, right?
Pretty huge.
Yeah. Why they decided not to use it after a while when I know that it rescued so many people who play in these charity events. One, not middle-aged, you know, a grandma, you know, she liked to play in these sorts of events, and she said, I couldn't do this if it weren't for the Big Bertha, and that was when it first came out. So it gave people an opportunity to actually hit the ball and feel like they could move forward and with the pack, rather than just hitting and missing all the time and embarrassing themselves, maybe even hurting themselves. So I thought that was a really smart idea. What I think is also smart is I think less is better. How do we know? What would you tell the consumer, the person who's got a bag full of clubs, and here comes some more clubs? At what point do you change? At what point do you add something to your bag?
You know, it's a great question, and you know, there are lots of reasons for buying new clubs. I mean, certainly you may want better performance. Your swing may have changed, something fundamentally different. Or, you know, I tell people, I think, you know, just because I want something new is a perfectly valid reason to buy something if you feel like you want to do that. It's funny, I was at the Nike event a few weeks ago for the launch of the Vapor Irons. And, you know, we were in the room and Tiger Woods was talking about his equipment. And what he said was, nothing goes into my bag unless I'm absolutely positive. And basically, unless I can prove it's better than what's in there now. And, you know, that's a pretty simple but really good measuring stick, you know. And that's probably the way we should all think about it. But again, I like new stuff. I understand other people like new stuff. So,
yeah. Yeah, nice and new and shiny.
But again, too, there are occasions where you see real undeniable technological breakthroughs. You know, certainly, obviously, when we went from wood to steel and then from steel to titanium, you know, sort of that was paved the way for that Bertha stuff we were talking about. So that was big. I think if you look at, just a few years ago with rocket balls for TaylorMade and what they did to the fairway wood space. That was an undeniable gain, and now we're at the point where, just about everybody has caught up and the playing field is level. So, anytime you can see, I don't think you're going to see in a driver probably any real groundbreaking technology, but I think you're going to see some things with irons in the next year that are probably difference makers. So, a long answer to a pretty short question. I mean, anytime, there's a major technological breakthrough that becomes undeniable, certainly that's a good time to start thinking about changing out the bag as well.
Making a change, getting the driver that works is easier to handle than your persimmon. I mean, that was it. That's how the driver changed. The question is, some people have, when you say don't put it in your bag unless you know it's going to work better than what you got, it's tough because you've got to try out what's you just got to see whether it works better. That means making an investment. So you can buy one iron. Let's say you buy one. You don't buy a whole set. Don't spend $1,000. Buy one iron that you use a lot. And see, does that one work better for you? Maybe that means that the entire line, all of those irons, will work for you. And I'm one of those people that I'd rather buy one at a time than buy a whole set, which I probably won't even use. So if you can do that, go to demo days are fabulous for that. Fabulous.
Yeah, and it's tough, and if people are being honest with themselves, when you go to a demo day, to a large extent, you sort of see what you want to see, right? It may not be the reality, but if you sort of decided that you want a new set of irons, and again, I want new irons is a perfectly valid reason to buy new irons, you may see performance that's not there simply because you want to see it, and it may not hold up on the course, but that's going to be true of any club we purchase. So there's an inherent risk to that, but if it makes you happy, by all means, go for it.
Go for it. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about what's happened. I got to tell you this, I always wondered why some of the big stores, like, let's just mention Dick's. We don't have a Dick's here, so I can't really get anybody upset with me. Why doesn't Dick's Sporting Goods advertise on my golf show? I talk about all the clubs. I have the club manufacturers. I have the guys like Tony Covey on the show talking about clubs, and they won't advertise on radio. They only advertise in certain places. And it seems like the money of golf is in the $10 million they're going to win at the FedEx Cup. It's in the huge purses that the guys are going to win. It's a very small circle within the golf community that's actually making these big dollar amounts. And the peripheral, including guys who are selling clubs, they're not making much money. And that was a perfectly written article that My Golf Spy had on your website, written by someone who didn't want to be mentioned, about what it's like being a club salesman and how much you've got to. Wasn't that well done?
Yeah, and that turned out to be great for us, and that came to us completely unsolicited, which is always nice too. But sort of in talking to retailers, especially brick and mortar, small mom and pop, all over the country, they all echo this same level of frustration. And I don't necessarily think that, a lot of these guys got in the business to get rich. I was talking to one of my pro shop contacts last night. He said, if you're lucky, you can pay yourself a fair wage, and maybe your wife does your books for you and you pay her a fair wage, and you live a decent, happy, comfortable life, but you're not going to get rich. If you're going to get into the golf business on the retail side, you have to do it because you love it.
I mean, they're lucky to get a 20% discount if they buy $10,000 worth of equipment from the same company.
It's 10% at $100,000.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So it is.
Yeah. So
and that's. It depends on the manufacturer, too, because you have two of the bigger manufacturers will give you discounts for high volume, and then you have, just to throw out an example on the other side of things, if you look at Ping, they're, I would say Ping is a tremendous supporter in as much as a manufacturer can be of green grass shops. You know, they, that's sort of the heart and soul of how they've conducted their business. That's why, you know, if you go to even smaller golf courses with smaller pro shops, they'll tend to have Ping and to an extent Titleist there as well. And Ping has been very supportive of that. And part of, you know, Ping will call it a moral compass, I believe, is, you know, nobody gets a discount. And, you know, well, that can sound harsh. It also means everybody pays the same. So if you're a guy who can only afford to buy, say, $10,000 worth of Ping inventory, you get the same deal as the guy who buys $100,000. Whereas, you know, with other companies, that big box budget is actually helping to boost margins.
Well,
the little guy never sees.
Right, and I think that everybody should read that article at mygolfspy.com because it'll give you a whole new perspective. When, let's say, a coupon is coming, you can't take that coupon over to the place where you usually buy your clubs. You got to do it online, direct sale. So the guy that's bought, you've been working with all this time, doesn't get the benefit of that promotion. It's everything is like working against the poor fella who's got the store that you can actually go and feel the club. So,
and you know, I think the consumer, you know, needs to bear some of that responsibility, if you want to call it that. I mean, you know, if you look at what's happened in other areas, I think consumer electronics is probably a great example where, you know, it used to be mom and pop shops, and then, you know, the Best Buys came in and cannibalized sales because they could offer, you know, better discounts or higher volume. And then, you know, now Best Buy is struggling because Amazon can sell for even less. And so what happens is these brick and mortar locations, even big box, they become a place where consumers go to have a tactile experience with the product. They want to touch it and feel it and see how it works. And then they're going to go online and find the best possible price. You know, that's what it means to be a consumer, right? I mean, you're trying to get the most out of your money, but it's very difficult for the guy in the retail shop who's, you know, taking his time and his people and his product and you know, only to have you or some consumers spend hours, if not more, you know, in the shop only when it comes time to decide and go home, get on the computer and save $20. It's unreal.
Yep. Boy, it sure is good talking to you. Thanks for being on the show. I hope you'll be on again.
Oh, I would love to do it.
Thank you. Tony Covey, Senior Equipment Editor, My Golf Spy. Go to mygolfspy.com. As he said, this is a quote, every golf company and every golf club has a story. It's my job to tell it. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. Ben Throckmorton is going to talk to us about how to use those clubs effectively, how to swing those clubs efficiently. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Dr. Armin Chong, DDS, is proud to announce the opening of his new state-of-the-art dental offices at 3660 Wiley in Kailuki. For more than 20 years, the skilled hands of Dr. Armin Chong and his caring staff have served Hawaii. Call Dr. Chong, 737-2865. Validated covered parking. Insurance accepted. The first step to dental relief is Dr. Armin Chong, 737-2865. Whether it's you, my parents, or my friends, it's Dr. Chong for all your dental needs. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Hoipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And the Champions Tour pros like Jadon Blake in town for the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship at Kapolei Golf Club starts Wednesday with the Pro-Am. You in? Davis Love III making his debut on the Champions Tour in Hawaii, just like Vijay Singh did a couple years back. He said, Davis Love, he couldn't think of a better place to kick off the next phase of his career. All of the proceeds from the 2014 Pacific Links Hawaii Championship and the ones held before benefit the Pacific Links Hawaii Foundation. It's an organization that helps cultivate and sustain programs aiding Hawaii's ecosystem, keiki, and culture. And part of the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship fun is the Kraft Foods Hawaii Junior Golf Clinic on Saturday. It's on September 21st. Hey, you say that's during the championship. Yes, indeed it is. But it'll be after Saturday's round, and two-time Masters champion Ben Crenshaw will provide tips for golfers in training. That's you and I. And junior golfers. In other words, everyone. It will be after Saturday's competition. It will be at Kapolei Golf Club. It's a family-friendly clinic, and it's free, and it's open to the public. And speaking of tips to improve our game, let's get Ben Throckmorton in on the show. I think he came up with three ideas to help you break 90. So many people get so frustrated trying to, you know, they're in, you know, they're shooting 110. They get down to 100. They get down to 90. They can't get down to 80. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. It's a beautiful.
Are you still not breaking 90?
Shh, quiet.
Come on.
Well, you
I know that's
if,
not
you
true.
Know, no, no. It, you know, the thing about this is, we get out on the golf course and we wonder why we can't shoot a lower score. There's this equation. It's called how much time spent practicing or playing equals better score. So you can't not play for 6 months and go out and expect to shoot a great score, right?
No, that's difficult. That can be difficult.
Yeah. So when you've got three jobs, you know, because, hey, we live in paradise and it's expensive.
I got you. I don't live in paradise, but it's expensive here, too.
There
so.
We go. And do you have time to go play every week?
No. I like to play. You know, I like to get out, and I try to get out once a week. But this summer has been bad. You know, my daughter plays basketball, and so I've been busy with that. And then I hurt my back, and, you know, so
yes,
it's been a slow summer for me. But I'm anxious to get back out this fall, so.
One thing good about the game is once you hone your swing, you groove your swing, if you have to stay away from the game for a while, it doesn't take a long time to get it back for the most part, right? That muscle memory comes back pretty quick.
For the average guy, you know, and again, it's kind of like the equipment thing you guys were just talking about. You know, for the average guy or the average girl who, you know, who's out there playing once a week or less, you know, the most important thing that you can fix is the path of your swing. And if you play a little bit, you know, the hardest thing to do is you know, you go to the first tee, very little warm up, and, you know, you get out there, you may hit the first one left, so the next one's going to go to the right. But if you can fix the path of your swing so that you either start it to the left or to the right or preferably on your target, your hands will catch up to that. But if you don't, you can't. So, you know, when I teach, and I still teach quite a bit, especially higher handicap players, kids just starting, those kind of things, I teach grip, posture, alignment, and then I try to get them to swing the golf club and get to where they can hit the ball, number one, solid off a tee, you know, even if it's with an 8-iron, you know, hit the ball solid, put it on a tee, hit it solid, don't let the ground get in the way of that, and get to a point that you can hit 7, 8, 9, 10 shots in a row that start on the same line, you know, whether that's right or whether that's left or whatever that is for you. If you can do that, your eyes will teach your hands what to do. You know, and if you're, you know, you're a three handicapper, you're a high school golfer and you're looking to play the tour, then obviously you're going to have to take it a little bit further than that. But for most people, if you can fix the path and you can play a little bit, you're going to be fine.
What did you mean? Don't let the ground get in the way of it?
Well, when you're learning to swing, a lot of times the ground alters your swing. If you watch people make a practice swing, especially, I mean, you if you look at Rory McIlroy, he'll make a practice swing with his 8-iron.
And when he makes a swing at the ball, it's exactly the same. When you watch a 15 handicapper do it, it's not. So what happens is the ball and the ground tend to get in the way. So if you work at it a little bit, I'd like to do it, it's kind of like a three-step process. You get out, you hit a few off the tee, you get where you can start it on your line, to the right, to the left, whatever that is for you. You get to where you consistently start it on that line off a tee. So you're hitting it solid, and then you go to the ground for maybe four or five shots. And you try to make that same swing with the same result. If you don't get it, you put it back up on the tee, and you go again. But what that teaches you to do is not flinch. You know, at the bottom, you're not allowing the ground or the ball to get in the way of you making your golf swing.
Yes, I think what you're saying is, well, I have the most beautiful practice swing.
Yeah, exactly.
But as soon as I put the ball in front, all of a sudden, I think I have to just. Something happens, and I tighten up, and I swing harder.
Yep, exactly.
And
that's exactly the way it works, and you have to get yourself over that. And one way to do that is to just stick the ball up on a tee and swing away.
What if I'm playing around with my friends, and Golf Channel came up with, the 7 ideas for relaxed rules? Which I thought was terrific.
Right? I like that. Yeah, I think that's great.
Isn't that good? What, can I use a tee?
Sure.
Why not, right?
Why can't you?
Right.
you remember we had this conversation before.
Yes.
Why do you have to keep your left arm straight? Why do you have to do that? Because somebody said that years ago.
That's right. You don't
have to keep your left arm straight.
Because it looks
cool. You
can use
a tee if you want.
Ben,
whatever you want to do.
It looks cool.
Oh, the left arm straight looks cool?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well.
Whatever, All
You've
right.
obviously never seen me swing.
You know, but I'm just saying. It's just like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter as long as you're going out to have some fun and playing the game and come in contact with the ball and move it forward. Now, I had a couple of people who were beginners. And we were playing because the Executive Women's Golf Association, our chapter, EWGA, we encourage people with no skills, none at all, to join, right? Because what better place than with people who are of different, abilities, and some don't have time to play a lot, and they used to play a lot, so they kind of know. Some of us don't play much, and we still don't know. And some of us don't know anything. They were afraid to hurt the ground. They were afraid to hit the grass and I take a divot because they didn't want to hurt the golf course
because they didn't know.
Right. But you mean I it's okay to do that? Yes.
Sure.
Don't worry about that. You just grab that grass and you put it back. You have to put it back. you clean what you did and make that grass grow better. But it's just these different things. So when you said that, don't let the ground get in the way, I was thinking of that person who was afraid of making a divot. And she was, just aghast when she did.
Right.
I said, no, you've done a good job. That was you hit the ball clean. That was great. Yeah, but look, I hurt the golf course. Yeah, so we all have these different issues. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's issues, pretty much the same. It just depends what level you're at. And, once she gets going, it's all the same. The game really hadn't changed much since Hogan and those guys were playing. So the equipment's changed a lot. Your earlier guest was fascinating. I listened in on that. It was really good.
Yeah.
The equipment has changed tons, which has changed the entire game. It's changed the way people swing at the ball.
Tell me about that. How has it changed the way we swing at the ball?
Well, you hear a lot of people say, you used to have just – to throw out there, you had Jack Nicklaus, you had Lee Trevino, you had Gary Player, you had Chichi Rodriguez, you had Ben Crenshaw. So you throw those 5 out there, all completely. None of them looked alike. None of them swung alike. It was all they all aimed differently. They are it was a completely different game between Jack and the rest of the guys. Arnold Palmer, same. He had his own swing. Now, you look at Jason Day, you look at Roy McIlroy, Billy Horschel, Chris Kirk, Kevin Na, Ryan Palmer. I mean, they have idiosyncrasies, but most of them are virtually the same. When they're swinging good, they look very much alike. They look very much, they do it the same way. And that's the equipment. when, or for me, in my opinion, now somebody might argue with me, but when Jack and Chi-Chi and those guys, they picked up what was ever in their garage or whatever they could find when they were younger, and they started playing with it. Well, you know, Chi-Chi's might have been 3 degrees flat and the shaft too stiff. Jack's might have been 2 degrees upright, and it wasn't nearly stiff enough. So it changed the way they learned to swing the club in order to hit the ball straight.
Interesting.
In order to get the ball from A to B. So it changed the way they did it. Lee Trevino played, and it was very windy and, you know, very hard, so he learned to hit the ball really flat. And, but the equipment has changed all that. And to some extent, probably the conditioning of the golf courses as well. But yeah, the equipment has allowed people now, you know, you're not out there hunting for it. You're not, you do this, and this, and you're going to be fine.
That's what you're talking about.
And that's the way the kids learn to play.
Yes. And there's a certain, I take it one step further. Everybody, it seems, except on the ladies' tour, because, you know, there's so many different shapes and sizes. But in the men's tour, on the PGA tour in particular, there is a certain physique. And it's almost like this physique is going to become a great golfer. You're right? Does it look like that to you too?
They're getting bigger and they're getting stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of like every other sport, you know. And I think it's one reason you see the injuries. You know, like Michelle Wee, I was so disappointed that she had to withdraw. You know, she was just catching her stride. It seemed like, you know, she wins the Open, and but I think the bigger, the stronger, the faster, the more injuries you're going to see, and the more bad backs, the more risks, you know, Tiger's issues. I mean, I just don't know that your body is intended to be able to do that fast and that violently.
Well, that's a very good point. And the other thing is, with Michelle, I understand, and I don't know this, it's kind of like a chronic repetitive kind of injury.
Right.
It'll never really be okay. She's all, because she plays and she practices so much.
Right.
So what do you do? What do you do about that, you know, in this world of competition?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a bow. You have to practice, obviously. So you have to find ways to do it that minimize the impact to your injured, whatever it is, your leg, your arm, your finger in her case. You know, you just got to find ways around it that you can practice, or maybe that you can change a little bit. You change your grip. You know, it's a trial and error thing. You got to find a way around it. And
it's
not always easy to do when you're a, you know, when you're a golfing prodigy and you've been doing it the same way since you were 8.
One thing I also want to emphasize, and I'm not sure if I'm on point here, but when you're learning the game, don't rush yourself. And don't be afraid to take time to make sure that, you know, you said focus on the grip, posture, the swing path.
And alignment.
Feel those things. Really.
Yeah, work on those all the time.
And take your time feeling how it feels. Because if you're a feel learner, you know, you got to, how does my body feel when I'm in the correct position? So that you can always go back to that correct position.
That is, probably swing path. And the thing that really messes up most people's swing path is their alignment.
How do we check for that? How do we check for alignment?
Well, what I do when I practice, what little I do practice, is I just stick a club down on the ground. I'll take my driver and point it on parallel lines toward the target, and then I get my feet parallel to that line, and you're off to the races. You know you're on line, so you check your shoulders, your hips, and your knees. And make sure everything's, you know, you're looking at, what's a good way to say that? Train tracks, I guess. But
yes,
the ball's on the right track and your body's on the left track and you're aligned properly at that point.
Those alignment rods, they're kind of helpful too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I just use them. I put a driver down or, you know, whatever. Just as long as it's a straight stick. Something you can see.
Now,
but,
people are going to look for you, you know, because you're so relatable, and that's what I love about talking with you. When you came out with How to Break 90 and 3 Easy Lessons, you had Easy Golf Instruction, you had all kinds of different websites, Golf Myths,
right?
But now you are rebuilding the GolfSwingSecret.com, right?
Actually, I was re reshooting it, you know, when I did the original video, I mean, it was just two guys out on the driving range with with cameras and no production, and so we decided, you know, we sold a bunch of those, and it was pretty well received. You know, got a lot of positive feedback from folks. It was easy, and basically what it did was taught you really simply how to fix the path of your swing. You know, how to fix the path so you can start it online and get your hands in a mode of learning how to square the club to the target line.
Yeah.
And it worked. It was very simple, and people like that quick fix. So, but I started reshooting it, and I was going to relaunch it. U.S. Open week was my plan, and of course I hurt my back again helping my daughter move furniture around her bedroom. All things. So
it's always the silly things that do it.
So I'm finishing it up. I'll probably finish up the video piece of it over the next 7 or 8 days, more than likely, and then it'll be. I don't know if I'll launch it. Probably the first of the year, more than likely now. But,
well, you'll have to be back on the show then.
So I would love to be. I'd love to visit with you anytime.
Yeah, and right now Ben Throckmorton is at throckmortonandcompany.com.
That's my company website.
Right. Ben, it's not Ben, it's just throckmortonandcompany.com. And I was reading an interview you did. Reading it, it says you were quoted to say, it's sad but absolutely true that thousands of people quit the game we all love every year, mostly out of frustration. And if you fall into this category, believing that mechanical tips, swing analysis, and pounding golf ball after golf ball on the driving range are the answers to your problems, you're destined to be frustrated forever.
Absolutely. That is absolutely correct.
And then you said something to the effect of, you've got to figure out what your swing is. It's your swing. It's not Tiger's, not Phil's, not John's. It's nobody else's. It's yours.
That thing. I love Golf Channel, but, you know, for somebody to teach me what Tiger does is it's just folly. I mean, I can't do what Tiger does.
No, none of us can.
Corey or Phil or, right. You know, so what I want to see one of those guys out there with a 25 handicap for teaching him what to do. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see work. I think they missed the boat there a little bit.
They should have,
In their marketing. They should have a show where the guy goes out with the, I'm trying to think of what the show was with Charles Barkley.
Oh, yes, Hank Haney. Hank teaching you your, you know. Listen
you see,
to
I think
us.
What Hank taught us all during that program was that, it you know, to go out and work with Tiger Woods, while probably very intimidating, you know, Tiger is very, very good, or Rory, or, I mean, they're looking for positive confirmation, and you make these little tiny changes, just something they can feel to get them in the right space. But to take a guy out like Charles Barkley and try to fix him, or to take a 25 handicapper out and try to get him down to an 18 is a far more difficult task. And I think one that, Golf Channel or somebody like that would be,
they should do that.
I think a show like that would do very, very well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because more people are going to relate, you know,
and it
goes to the equipment, the whole thing. You know, if you can get people flooding into the game, they're going to buy new equipment. If they can get better, they're going to buy new stuff. They're going to go out and spend their money at the courses and in the snack shops. But if people continue to be frustrated, and you know, then it gets to the point that everything's going backwards. If all you've got is tour quality players, then there's not going to be many people playing.
No, that's like 0.001% of the population. So what you say is focus on the things that are important, the swing path, the moment of truth, impact. Tie those with your score, and you're on your way to longer, straighter scores. But it's very simple.
In two sentences, if you will go to the driving range this afternoon, take a bucket of balls, tee up 30 balls one at a time, put your feet together, and pick a target on the driving range and just swing the club. Swing the club, try to get the ball off the tee solidly and get where you can start the ball at your target 10 times in a row. Keep doing that till you can do it 10 times in a row, and then try to do it 10 times in a row off the ground. But don't switch till you get to where you can start it 10 times in a row. Take an 8-iron, tee it up, just swing through it. Try solid contact, get the ball started online. If you can do that and then you warm up like that every time you go to play, I guarantee you'll shoot lower than you're shooting now.
Awesome.
Guaranteed.
Guarantee.
Quote me.
We're quoting you right now. This is Ben Throckmorton. I have to take a commercial break. Ben, it's been really fun talking with you.
So thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So when you launch that website, take care of your back.
I mean, I'm going to try to do that.
Yes, yes, as we all must. So strengthen your core, get off your back, but don't stop doing a little bit of exercising, okay?
You got it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Talk soon.
Yes. Aloha. We have to do the station identification. We are KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. And there's this fabulous car that you've got to go test drive. It's the TLX. It's got a host of standard and then the available features. The standard LED headlights, like a row of diamonds guiding your way. The standard expanded view driver's mirror, see more of what's coming up from your side. Oh, that's so important. I watch it all the time. Standard capless fuel fill system. Yes, it's convenient and it's clean, plus you'll never replace another gas cap. I think I've done that two or three times. Standard active sound control, enhancing this ultra-quiet cabin, the stereo and connectivity experience. And also available, the GPS link, solar sensing, dual zone, automatic climate control system, improving your cooling by sensing the sun's position, adjusting the fan speed for the passenger that needs it most. Now, there's a car that knows you. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home, you need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call.
When the outside world grows too intrusive, it's nice to know you can escape to one that's all your own. Like the one you'll find inside the Acura RDX. With over 38 inches of rear legroom and over 76 cubic feet of cargo space, the interior of the RDX is designed to be your personal sanctuary. The RDX also features perforated leather trim seating surfaces that provide maximum comfort to every passenger, gripping them through accelerated turns. Immaculately designed and tailored to fit the human form, the Acura RDX interior was named one of Ward's 10 best. The 2014 Acura RDX. Create your own space in the world. Acura reminds you to properly secure items stowed in cargo area.
Be sure to come visit our Hawaii Acura dealers and check out our latest models, cutting-edge features, and amazing deals. Visit us today.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
So much to talk about, so little time. Okay. Did I mention that the Hyundai Tournament of Champions is less than 6 months away and they're looking for volunteers to help put on the event? You can run ShotLink, you can be a ticket taker, you can be a driver, and all you need to do is call Tiffany DeLeon at 662-7702. If you're out of state, it's 808-662-7702. And the Hyundai Tournament of Champions is one of the only events that actually gives you a shirt and a couple of them and caps. And then you get to play it on the bay course. And that's a beautiful golf course. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. And Randall Mell knows about gorgeous golf courses. He's a senior writer for Golf Channel, and he follows the LPGA, of course, and just golf in general. It's always fun when he's on Morning Drive or on Golf Central or sitting around. I think they had the Grey Goose 19th hole for a long time, and that was great. But he's joining us now, right now. Randall Mell, senior writer, golfchannel.com. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Danielle, good to be with you.
It's good to be with you, and I'm glad you're joining us. This is quite the court. You know, when I went to the Masters and I walked Augusta for the first time, I went, boy, now this course looks easy on television, and it doesn't. I mean, this doesn't play easy at all. This is a tough course. It's much more difficult than it looks on television. I get the sense that that's what it's like at the Evian Championship. This course is much more difficult in person.
Yeah, the television can't do justice to the course at all because it's built on the side of a mountain there in Evian. And, you know, there's lots of slopes and there's some steep slopes that just don't come through on television because on that golf course, the challenge is the fairways. You get a lot of side hill lies or downhill lies or uphill lies. That's a huge part of the challenge. And the greens are very sloping and they've got the course set up, you know, I don't know if it's an answer to the 61 that Hyo-Joo Kim shot in the first round, or they just really want to make sure it's a major championship test, but it looks like it's set up awfully tough now.
Yeah, today, right? They did it, and everybody was like, wow, it certainly isn't giving up a 61 today. I think they finished the round. And I'm just going to say H.J. Kim and Kari Webb, seeing her. I mean, I understand that Hyo-Joo Kim was asked if she knew who Kari Webb was. And she said no. It's so cute. Who is Hyo-Joo Kim?
Well, she's American audiences aren't very familiar with her because she plays the Korean LPGA Tour regularly. She's one of their stars. She's 19. She's actually a freshman at Seoul University. She was the KLPGA's Rookie of the Year last year, nearly was the Player of the Year. So, you know, one of that next bunch of South Korean women that I'm sure will be headed over to the LPGA Tour. And she could make her name internationally in a big way tomorrow if she keeps doing what she's doing.
Yeah, but with Kari Webb, she's just so steady. And yeah, what is it about her staying power?
Yeah, Kari's she's a terrific ball striker. I remember talking to Beth Daniel when Kari was at the height of her powers. Kari's 39 now. When Kari was battling with Annika Sorenstam as the best women's player of the game.
Yes.
I remember Beth Daniel just talking about the sound of Kari's shots, which I thought was interesting because, you know, I must be tone deaf. I don't hear it quite like those great players do, but she just went on and on about the solid sound of Kari's shots. So she's always been a great ball striker. She's undergoing a little bit of a transition now. She switched golf coaches. She had been with Ian Triggs for years, and now she's working with Mike McGettrick and just kind of honing some different things, and obviously it's coming around this week. And she also pulled an old 12-year-old Titleist prototype out of her closet, a putter, and apparently that's working pretty well this week, too. Yeah.
Everybody, go into your closet and find the one that was working 12 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's true. Sometimes we switch things around, and I was talking to Tony Covey from My Golf Spy earlier. You know, what works, keep it in your bag. I think Tiger Woods said that, right? I don't put anything in my bag that I'm absolutely sure is going to work for me. So sometimes changing isn't a good thing. Let's go down the leaderboard. Brittany Lincecum, Stacey Lewis, Lexi Thompson, Paula Creamer. There's the American contingent. Brittany was like 67, 65, and then, wow, 77. What happened today?
Yeah, she is a prime example of how much more difficult the course is set up today. The winds are up a lot of the pins you could see were right on edges, on slopes and edges near hazards, and we saw MJ Herr at the 16th hole actually chip it into the water, and she made triple bogey. She was tied for the lead, made triple. Now she's two shots back. So that's the kind of the way the course played, which actually watching it was interesting. It was kind of refreshing to see, you know, you could see the nervousness of shots that the precision required, that if they were off a little bit, that they were going to pay a severe price. Now, the challenge when you set up a course like that is always, is it fair? And, you know, in the transcripts, I didn't read anything from players complaining about it being unfair. Cause that's always the thing when you see a course like that, because you see a lot of shots where the ball is trickling near the hole and ends up quite far away. So you always wonder how the players feel about that, if you feel like they were rewarded for a tough shot. But, you know, Kari Webb struck the ball really well. She wasn't complaining about it afterwards.
Well, usually the ones that are doing well don't do a lot of complaining. But in general, you're absolutely right. I mean, they're fair when they criticize the courses, aren't they, for the most part?
Yeah, well, you know, golfers are funny. They don't like to be embarrassed. And it's always hard to tell. It's hard to tell if a golf course is set up to where it rewards a good shot, but it doesn't unfairly penalize, you know, an almost good shot. You know, that's always the test. And, you know, I did find it kind of fun to watch today, though. I didn't watch and say, this is goofy golf. You did see how hard it was, and I think we might have had a record for a Golf Channel showing LPGA players with long faces and clenched jaws. It looked like the faces of players grinding their way in a major championship.
In a major championship. May I ask, you know, remember all the heat, I'm sure you do, the heat that this particular course took when they decided to become a major, and all the work that was put into changing the course. It certainly bore fruit, didn't it? I mean, it's working.
Yeah, you know, I'm not over there. I was there last year, and I really got a feel for it. And I tell you, that was I didn't mind the LPGA and Mike Wann deciding to have a fifth major, because I thought, you know, women's golf, they don't have World Golf Championships. They don't have the FedEx Cup. The more big events they can have, the better. So a fifth major, I was fine with that. But, you know, it felt like last year they went with it too early. They had an $8 million renovation of the Evian Golf Resort, but when we showed up there last year, half the course seemed like it was ground under repair. It didn't play as a major championship-worthy course. And then, of course, they opened this year. I'm not there to see it this year. I'm watching on TV like everyone else. But the course right away, you know, Hyo-Ju Kim shoots 61, and so you're thinking, wow, is that a major championship time? But now the way that it looks the last couple of days, they have it playing pretty tough, and no one's going to run away, and a player hits the ball well, it's going to be able to separate themselves. But I would like to, it always takes sometimes, Danielle, a week or so before players start talking about what they really think of the
okay.
golf course, you know?
Well, it's so close. I mean, H.J. Kim is just one stroke ahead of Kari Webb, who's just one stroke ahead of MJ Herr, who's just one, you know, it's like, it's tight. This leaderboard is tight, and it's exciting. And I would really like to see Brittany come back and recover that form she had the first couple of days. Or Stacey Lewis, you know, Paula Creamer. You know, wouldn't it be great for Paula to be able to win? It's going to take a lot with the course playing as tough as it is. What happens after this major? We're winding down the season on the PGA Tour. The women are going for the CME Globe. How many more events are there?
Yeah, there's, you know, they come back over and play in Alabama. Then they go on their fall Asian swing. Then they come back, play Lorena's event, and then it's the CME Group. So, you know, there's still plenty of events left. Stacey Lewis is, right now, she's dominating statistical categories. She's trying to become the first American since Betsy King in 93 to be Player of the Year, win the Barr Trophy for low scoring average, and the money list. And she's in position to do all that right now. But I think what she really wanted was that major, her first major of this year.
Yeah.
This week at Evian. And if she had gotten that, she would really, I think, have run away with everything. But, you know, a lot can still happen because the stars have definitely been shining in the LPGA this year. We've seen good play from all the best players. Michelle Wee breaks through. Stacey Lewis is, you know, has three wins. Indy Park, you know, wins another major this year. She's got back to number two in the world. Lydia Ko's been interesting and fun to watch at number three. So, you know, it's been a really, really good year for women's golf. And so kind of looking forward to a good finish, get to CME, the season ending, and see who wins the big CME prize, too. So it should be a good finish to the year.
Yeah, the one now, the Rainwood LPGA Classic in Beijing, the Simi Darby LPGA Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, when they go to South Korea and back to China. Are these by invitation events or are they full field events?
Yeah, no, most of those are smaller fields. So, yeah, the year is pretty much winding down for full field events and for players trying to keep their cards and things like that. Yeah, the opportunities are very limited now.
Wow. So where are you going to be? Are you traveling out to China? Would you want to travel to China?
Oh, no, actually, I've got the Ryder Cup coming up. My final LPGA event will be the season-ending
CME
Tour Championship. Yeah, down in Naples.
Okay,
that's a nice end of the year.
Let me ask you on Ryder Cup. Would you like to delay the picks? Do you think they pick the captain's picks too soon?
Yeah, I think they do. Just because, you know, if I were the captain. And Billy Horschel wins again. Wow. I really want him on my team, you know? So, yeah, I think so. I think it kind of puts the captain in a tough spot to make a pick when there's a couple of big events left after he makes his pick. Because Billy Horschel is red hot.
Yeah.
Man.
And Chris Kirk's no slouch either. He's doing pretty good.
No, no. He was right. You know, a lot of people thought he should have been picked anyways. And, you know, he could end up walking away with the whole FedEx Cup jackpot and might not have the FedEx Cup winner on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, you know, it's, and then, you know, watching our star Bubba Watson, you know, he had an off day. It's like, gee whiz, guys, come on, I hope you all gel at the same time.
Yeah, and you know, if you're in a European, you're probably thinking, boy, I'm glad Billy Horschel and Chris Kirk aren't going to be in the
Yes. Randall Mell, thanks so much for joining us on the show. It's a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Daniel. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon, I hope.
Okay.
Thanks. And we're going to thank the people who make this show possible, because without them, we wouldn't have the Golf Club celebrating our 17th season. We're proud to have our newest sponsor, Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, Creative Plumbing is the call you make, because it's got to be done right. Creative Plumbing. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create this challenging course. We talked to him just a couple weeks ago. It's a relaxing venue for golfers of all abilities. Just tee it forward. Unforgettable golf at Poipu Bay Golf Course. And thank you, Craig Sasada, because I know my friend Michael Patrick Shields had an absolutely fabulous time. And he talked about how comfortable Craig made everybody feel. Star Protection for property threat and risk assessment, for protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for your special event like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. It's Star Protection. You need them. And they're here in Hawaii and in California. Acura of Honolulu, where military appreciation never ends. Get an additional $750 off today's special pricing. Ask TJ about the military appreciation pricing and discount at 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. It's a great day to test drive an Acura of Honolulu. And Acura of Honolulu has the collegiate graduate program. Yeah, you want to investigate that, because grads, if you're graduating, let's say, in December, you know, those odd, I did that, so it's not all that odd. You can also get your, you know, car without a co-signer, and you can establish your credit. So you need to talk to TJ at Acura of Honolulu. Again, that's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. And thank you to Hawaii Golf News and Travel, HawaiiGolfTravelNews.com, Hawaii Golf Hall of Famer Norm Gunther. Go to his website and check out the golf packages that he has available. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2014.